Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. This is Pittsburgh Week. We begin in 2025. We'll end in 2026. Someone's going to have their feelings hurt on Monday morning, and I'm going to have the Maryland Crab Cake Tour to fall back on. I have Candy Cane Cash giveaways from the Maryland Lottery. They smell good. They've been big winners. I'm wearing my Costas shirt. We're going to be doing a cup of soup or bowl Super Bowl week for the Maryland Food Bank. We will be at Costas and Timonium to close it off. Not sure that the Ravens will be preparing for a game in Santa Clara or that the Pittsburgh Steelers will be in such position. I don't know who the coaches are going to be. I don't know who the quarterbacks are going to be. It's always fun to welcome this guy on. I threatened him 3 weeks ago. I said, "You're coming back. Luke's going to have to drive up the hill. They're going to flex the game into 8:20. It's going to be the last game of the season." And sure enough, it is. Will Graves joins us again from the Associated Press of Pittsburgh. He is not a Yinzer. He's actually a Maryland native, but one of those burgundy and gold guys that hasn't had a lot of winning. But he went up to Pittsburgh and he covers all things Pittsburgh sports. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Fresh off of another Mike Tomlin press conference where, dude, everybody's fighting for their life, right? Like, they booed Renegade. I'm trying to get Tommy Shaw on. The stadium's emptied out in your place. The stadium's emptied out five times down here. They've lost six home games trying to get a home game. They're going in with a backup quarterback and are 3.5 point favorites because the Steelers marched around Cleveland like they didn't want to win the division. Well, welcome back, man. Happy New Year to you, man.
Happy New Year, Nestor. It's it's been a weird season, and largely uneventful until whoever was working on TJ Watt accidentally jabbed the wrong way. And then a week later, you know, a guy that's getting paid $150 million to catch football decides to walk over to a Lions fan that he may have a history with and take a swipe at him. It wasn't a swing, but he initiated physical contact and got suspended. And I really think those two things, you know, they played into the fact that they did not win that game in Cleveland on Sunday. Predictable though. I mean, like, they've struggled up there regardless of what state the Browns are in. They're not that good in Cleveland. Haven't been for a while.
Inexplicable, you know, right?
Because they
have a great defense. Because Schwartz, right. And Schwartz is a genius, and I say that as my lifer friend Jimmy Schwartz. But Schwartz is a genius, and he's got the best player on the planet, literally.
Yeah,
right?
And the Steelers, to be honest with you, like, Mike can say, "Oh, our game plan wasn't any different than it usually is against Miles," but it looked like they were more concerned about, or as concerned with, making sure that 95 did not get the record breaking sack as they were in winning the game. That if you look at the game plan, look, losing Darnell Washington early to the broken arm, which will have him out this week, hurt. You know, but man, eight looked scared, you know. I mean, which is not scared isn't the right word. I would say he looked anxious.
Tentative. I would say tentative.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, he wanted to get like, "I just, where's 95? Okay, he's coming. I'm getting rid of the ball." And it was just weird. It was a weird game. Once they went down 10-0, I turned to my son and I said, you know, "Well, looks like we got the 8:20 game," as we all sort of feared. And that's how it turned out. And look, it's things are weird in Baltimore. Like, I think either team is going to be, whoever wins this is going to be a home dog in the playoffs next week. I mean, that's probably going to happen. And deservedly so. But look, somebody's got to win a division. And it seems like the Ravens have just been kind of like, from afar, from what I see from Pittsburgh, kind of just screwing around and screwing around and screwing around. And then it was like, again, up in Green Bay, it was like, "Oh, wait a minute. We have the best player on the field. Why don't we just give him the ball all the time and see what happens?" And all of a sudden, like, you know, football becomes awful easy when you do that, right? So,
which,
I would imagine,
again, is an indictment of the coaching, right? I mean, but both of these genius Hall of Fame coaches who haven't won anything in 15 years, right? Like, that, you know, no matter what, all the money spent on the defense that, you know, Mike and bringing in the Hall of Famer and like all of that, bringing in Metcalf, you know, paying some people. All of that, and then the Ravens side of this is Lamar and Lamar and more Lamar, and all hell breaks loose last week when Preston writes a story that was clearly a plant from inside the building about, hey, maybe we don't like Lamar as much as he thinks we like him. I mean, it's insane. And The weird part, Will, the really weird part is they're favored with a backup quarterback on the road against a Hall of Fame quarterback who has no receivers. All the depletions along both of the teams, whether it's Matabike and Buchanan over here or Watt, whatever it is on the other side there. The craziest part that I think beyond all of it is how Lamar playing doesn't feel to be like, doesn't matter if he plays or not, because if he plays, he's hurt anyway. He's going to play tentative, and we'll do it with Snoop. And I'm thinking, you're going to Pittsburgh on the road with the season on the line with a backup quarterback. I don't care what Las Vegas says. That's not ideal. It's less than I, even with Derrick Henry, it's less than ideal.
Less than ideal, but let's remember that first game, the one in Baltimore a few weeks ago. The Steelers were pretty fortunate to escape with that one. I mean, there were a couple of calls there, the likely touchdown, non-touchdown thing, the fact, the idea that Rodgers had control of that ball that was tipped back to himself, like he did, he absolutely did not. They kind of stole it there, and they stole it while playing pretty well. I mean, Rodgers and Metcalf had his best game of the season by far, and Rodgers probably had maybe arguably his best game of the season. And DK isn't there. And so now you have him throwing three touchdown passes at the goal, or three passes at the goal line to Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who was looking for work in mid-October for a reason. Pretty still pretty fast, but I mean, guys, catching the ball is not his strongest spark part of his skill set. You got Adam Thielen out there, 35. Calvin Austin III, banged up, maybe available, but I mean, like, is he the difference between winning and losing this game? I mean, the Steelers are really, really, really limited offensively. And the weird part is their best receiver is Pat Freiermuth and has been for the last 4 years. And in Arthur Smith's Rolodex, or it's like, it's almost like he plays Yahtzee with his playbook. Like, you have no idea what the combination is going to be until it rolls out there. Like, he doesn't get a lot of snaps and he doesn't get a lot of targets. This guy was their leading receiver a year ago, and this year he's third, and he's like 40 behind Gainwell and DK Metcalf. I mean,
Well, and Gainwell
crazy.
is clearly, if the Steelers win the game on Sunday night, I would think the kicker and the running back are going to be a huge part of this, because I think Aaron Rodgers gets up to the line of scrimmage and will be able to work, at least work into plays that he wants to get into. Now, whether, I mean, Valdez-Scantling ran the wrong way, stop routes, going to get him picked off doing that stuff, right? Like, but the reading of the minds all the weeks in, to your point, it felt like it clicked in the Baltimore game for Aaron Rodgers in some way to say, and even last week, watching Aaron Rodgers trying to run 2 minute and yelling at the OC that he didn't want subs, like I'm half joking, but if I would have had a question for Mike Tomlin today, even joking around and saying, I'm thinking we're not going to see subs in 2 minute anymore with Aaron Rodgers, right, Coach? Right? Because like you completely defeat everything he's capable of doing to get cheap snaps with 12 men on the field when Zach Orr's trying to sub in some winded defensive lineman who's eight plays in a row and on his ass and moving backwards in 2 minute. Like the just the coach on the field part of Aaron Rodgers makes me very, very leery of thinking this is just going to be the Ravens are going to be up by 13 points when Renegade's playing and the place is going to be emptied out and Tomlin's going to be fired before you get downstairs. You know what I
I
mean?
mean,
Like, I just don't, I can't envision it going that way Sunday night, Will.
well, I mean, and I asked Mike this today, or during his press conference, like, this could be Aaron Rodgers' final game, right? And do you think that he is going to go down with taking directions from Arthur Smith in a crucial, situation, in a 2 minute situation? I don't think so. I mean, I think that he had, look, he's not like, this may be his last game of his life. Maybe some team offers him a job next year. Maybe it's Pittsburgh, but like, he has all of the, I mean, he has all of the power in this particular circumstance. He doesn't need to play nice anymore. Although my read is that he and Arthur Smith have a pretty decent relationship, much better than Arthur had with Russell Wilson. But trust me, I mean, Aaron is also marches to his own drummer, and I can imagine if things aren't going well on Sunday, he's going to be like, to borrow a phrase, it's going to be like, to borrow the phrase from Major League, it's like, bleep you, Arthur Smith. I
I
do
would have
have a
thought 17 weeks in that they would have scrimmaged that at least to say, look, no subs. Just, or at least said it on the way in, like, hey, we get them reeling. I don't sub. You know what I'm capable of doing. Don't sub on me. But that's not the way OCs think. OCs think down, distance, chart,
Right.
clock. I got to get my package in. They don't want to think about not subbing because they think all week about nothing but subbing, literally, right?
Well, it's about, and Arthur, it's kind of weird. They are, have not been productive in terms from a yardage standpoint, but they've been really efficient in that when they've had opportunities to score, they've scored touchdowns. That was really the one thing that has been the separator this year between this year's offense and last year, and really basically since 2020. That being said, I just think that, it's almost like when it's working, when they're as democratic as the Steelers offense is, with the number of they have had 11 different guys catch touchdown passes this season. I think that's tied with Buffalo for first in the league. They've had 14 guys catch passes, including Spencer Anderson, an offensive tackle, who works as like their sixth lineman. In a way, it's supposed to, when it's working, it's like, well, that's we're never too reliant on somebody. Like that's what basically what the upside is. But the flip side of that is sometimes you just need to make sure your best players get the ball. And that needs to happen on Sunday. Like Pat Freiermuth should have 10 plus targets on Sunday. Like that's just and Kenny Gainwell should probably get the bulk of the work in the backfield because he's been the better of the two between him and Jaylen Warren over the back half of the season.
Well, I mean, no matter what, you're going to be down in the locker room under the stadium asking Mike Tomlin questions, win or lose. And as I pointed out, and by the way, Will Graves is here from the Associated Press in Pittsburgh, our defending champion from the Steel City. It's going to be a very ugly Monday morning
For
for,
somebody,
and
right?
I don't know who that is because if Harbaugh wants out because Lamar's here to stay, or they've decided that Lamar doesn't want to be here. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the reading of tea leaves here in a year that began with the Justin Tucker thing, that there's so much more meat on that bone that has not been reported in regard to the organization. And them dealing with that, certainly in the community here, it's been a much bigger thing than maybe it would be led on in other places, and so big that he got a 10-game suspension and hasn't gotten a gig, and everybody's no speaky about it. It reminds me of the congressional hearing with the steroid baseball guys. Didn't work here. Don't know. So anyway, that started the year, and then just thinking about the expectations that for 8 months we sat here and said, if they make an AFC championship game and host it and lose it, it won't be good enough. Like, that's the bar here. That was the expectation here as the favorite to be in the Super Bowl. And from the beginning, the Buffalo game, 1-5, Lamar's injury, Lamar never practicing on Wednesday, it looking disjointed. It's been like a nursery song. Ankle, knees, toes, hips, hamstrings. Like, and they're dishonest. Will they? John Harbaugh is dishonest as his brother, like literally, as that mess continues in Michigan. And so there's no clarity. The stadium is emptied out 5 times. They booed the coach. He's been the village idiot to the point where, like, they won the game last week at Lambeau Field, and all you could talk about, and everybody else is talking about, well, you didn't run the ball last week, So, and both of these coaches were thought to be Hall of Fame, and both of them might be looking at the Giants' job on Monday morning if there were a tie and neither one of them could win the division. But it's there's going to be some level of chaos
Well,
here
yeah, but well, I
in
mean,
both of
I
these
think,
places, and probably no matter what, because if they both lose next week, right?
right. I mean, if the Steelers lose, and I imagine, Mike won't say much about his future after the game, but let's say we get to Tuesday, Wednesday next week when he'll do his year and wrap up, and they'll probably talk about maybe, there's no way if he leaves, it would be on his own terms. There is no way the Steelers are going to fire a guy who's never had a losing season and fire him?
Okay,
Fire
if they lose 40-10 to a backup quarterback, let's just say
that.
I don't know that Sunday night's results should matter
I'm
about
not saying that
firing
he
or not
I'm not saying there's no chance he's going to
on
leave, but
either
I, if I
side.
if they do, it will be one of those things where I believe he will be the one that will initiate it. I have no
Okay.
reason to believe that this, I mean, what, like, the Steelers sort of lean into their own mythology, right? They sort of, I mean, they love that we've had three coaches since 1969. One of the ironies is if the Steelers don't win this game, Mike T will be one win short of Chuck Knoll. Right now, he's one win short of tying Chuck Knoll for most regular season victories, which I think they would tie for ninth in league history.
Okay.
That's a pretty interesting, that's a pretty interesting situation. But look, he's Mike's, his kids are grown. His two boys are out of the house. His daughter's a sophomore gymnast at Georgia and comes home on break, but that's about it. There's nothing tying him here other than the job at this point. His wife obviously has a successful business, but she can do that wherever. I don't think it's specific to Pittsburgh. He's earned the right. I mean, he's earned the respect. There's no way that the Steelers would fire him. But will it get ugly if it's 40 to 10? I mean, like, the only way that, in my opinion, that the Steelers would get to a point where they would be like, hey, Mike, maybe it's time to go, is if people don't show up, if the stands look like Tennessee. Okay. But that's
Right.
not going to happen this week, obviously. And it might not even happen next year. The thing with Harbaugh that's interesting, my read on it is, and look, at the Steelers, when I got here in 2011, had a franchise quarterback in his prime and didn't get to a Super Bowl after that. Like, they just lost to the Packers when I got here, haven't been back, but were competitive and relevant for the next 10 years until Ben retired, and have been oddly competitive despite having a revolving door at that position. But those guys like Lamar are super hard to come by. Super hard. Like, it's easier, in my opinion, it's easier to find a coach than it is to find a quarterback. And if I'm the Ravens, and look, who knows what the inner goings, the politics of that building are, but it would be very odd for me for them to,
It's weird. I mean, it's really
if he says,
weird.
me and Harbaugh, I can't do it with this guy next year, the idea that they would trade Lamar
Well,
and keep
Lamar not
Harbaugh
having
is
an agent's also his mother. I mean, it
well.
is. And then just the fact that he hasn't practiced on Wednesdays. And
Right.
there's been a couple of times where it felt like, especially the week where Harbaugh thought he was playing and he was. Maybe Harbaugh was being honest that time and really thought, like, maybe there is some level of miscommunication about practice and not practice and whether he can practice. And this has gone on all season long. That's really hard way to run the business. You know what I mean? Like, it just is when he's not out practicing with the guys and then the operation doesn't look good on
Right.
Sunday.
I mean, and look, as brilliant and as transcendent an athlete as a quarterback, as a Hall of Fame player as Lamar is, he could never play another down. He's going to the Hall of Fame. The thing was, man, can he run forever? Can he play like this forever and stay healthy forever? And this year has obviously been the, well, maybe he can't. So how do we evolve? And if the Ravens decide that whatever iteration of Lamar 2.0, as he evolves from this sort of wonder, this freak of nature in the pocket, as opposed to a more quote tr semi-traditional quarterback, if he's not as mobile as he used to be, and they decide, you know what, we're gonna try elsewhere. We think we've got the best out of him.
If he
He's not
can't
bad.
run the ball, he's not a
And
$70 million quarterback anymore,
correct.
I don't
So,
think.
and maybe they make that decision and they keep Harbaugh. Like, that's maybe the decision. But I'm just saying that it is, what's he, 29, 28?
Yes.
I mean, he could. St I mean, I would think that he's still got 3 to 4 really, really good
Well,
years
here's the
left.
thing that Luke always falls back on when we have these debates, which was, hey, first half against Buffalo, first week of the year, there was nothing wrong with Lamar. There was nothing wrong with, but that's my point in that if you look at how they won the game the other night, yeah, Henry rushed for, 36 rushes and 300. Like, quarterback ran the ball and had 60 yards on 8 carries. And that was part of why Derrick Henry was so effective in getting downhill. So, and the fact that you would say, well, they wanted it to be something different. That was what Derrick Henry was brought here to do, was be the something different. But if Lamar's not the salt to go with the pepper, then the peanut
That's
butter to go
true.
with the jelly, then it affects things. And I think it made Tyler Huntley more effective, as well as just better ball skills. He's become a better quarterback,
He is, he
than he
has.
was 5 years ago. The notion that he can come in and knock the Steelers out of the play. I mean, and you see the game the way everybody does, right? Derrick Henry's going to run the ball 32 times, and that's going to be for 200 yards, and that's going to be the Steelers' Waterloo on Sunday night.
I mean, like that's what I would do. I mean, they've been on, like they've been effective against some guys, but not others. But I would argue, like, you know, they kept Jonathan Taylor in check when they beat the, you know, when they were sort of like when they beat the Colts. That sort of, in my opinion, that sort of broke the Colts. The Colts won in Germany the next week against a bad Jets team, but that Steeler game sort of broke the Colts. But I would say that Shane Steichen only giving him the ball 12 times was the problem. Like that was the problem. It wasn't Jonathan Taylor. You know, Achane was okay, but not. But look, the last three times the Steelers have played the Ravens, like the Ravens have rushed for over 200 yards, and Henry has been a beast. And the Ravens should have won all three of those games, and I argue they should have won the first match in, you know, in December here, and then obviously the last two in Baltimore last season, right? The playoff game and the one, you know, right before Christmas. So, that would make the most sense, especially given how limited the Steelers are offensively at the moment. But you know, it's I don't know. You're right. I think it's either way, even if whoever wins is not going to go to the Super Bowl. Whoever, like it's hard to envision that. But in Pittsburgh, I think if they can win and get in and get a home game and be competitive in the home game, or maybe even win it. I mean, I think like for Baltimore or for the Steelers, like the one thing they would have going for them is like let's say you get a CJ Stroud or a Herbert or you know, I'm trying to think who the other what the third wild card team is.
It would be Buffalo.
Right. I mean, like, well, that would be the one I wouldn't want. But against the other two, you know, I kind of like my chances. You know, against a quarterback that hasn't really done it this time of year yet. You know, and this Chargers have been a little up and down. Do you really trust the Chargers in the playoffs? I mean, they chargered the other night. You know, on Christmas they chargered
Well, you
like.
could say going into Denver or New England, or I mean, New
Well,
England had a
but I mean, I
scandal
think
this
a
week.
home game, a home, right, exactly. But I think a home game for this, they would have a puncher's chance. Whoever wins this game, if the Steelers get in and win a home game, I think all of the pressure on Mike T sort of evaporates into the ether.
The
It's like,
pressure on Harbaugh evaporated,
right.
I thought, during the game when Derrick Henry ran the ball, and like, here he is with a chance to win. They're favored again. Pressure's off of Harbaugh, and the minute it lit up again, as to he's blown a lot of leads. And why are they playing this game in Pittsburgh with the season? Like, how did it get to this point that and I think there's going to be some turmoil around here one way or another with the quarterback and the coach and a kumbaya and a contract, no matter what they do. And to your point, they're not winning the Super Bowl. So, but playing a home playoff game next week would, matter. But playing and losing to the Houston Texans 31-16 wouldn't be good either. The day after both of these seasons end, the totality of you don't have a quarterback and you don't have a great draft position, and Mike T might be running to the end at some point. We're closer to the end than we are at the beginning by anybody's stretch, right? That Giants job with a quarterback, that fresh start for one or both of these coaches and or franchises, that the quarterback might just want to play in Miami here. Like, literally, they might just know that and say, you know what, kid? Like, we're gonna get everything we can get from you. We're, like, if you don't want to be here, we can't pay you $60 million a year. And I've always been concerned about that with Lamar, the NBAification of where do I really want to play? Aaron Rodgers had that and string the Steelers along for months. And here he is at home with a game to get you into the playoffs. There's no other quarterback, maybe Flacco. There's no other quarterback out there that could have done that for the Steelers in the offseason. So for that, there's been some brilliance that you're hosting a game with a chance to have a playoff
Right,
game next.
right. I mean,
I don't
and
know
that's
how
what
that
I.
could be perceived as terrible in Pittsburgh, but it is.
But like you know, it's been that's it's funny. It's funny you mentioned that. Like my analysis piece after the Browns game that we always that all the AP NFL writers do on Mondays, my literally was like the lead was like this is how it was always going to end, and if you had told the Steelers in week one, in week 18, you're going to have the Ravens at home with a spot in the playoffs on the line, everybody would have taken that, right? But I think because of the way it's the way that you get there that sort of form sort of the feelings and the vibes around it. And as great as it was when, as they were feeling after they sort of escaped in Detroit, like with, oh, we got the Browns next. Like that's where we're literally, it's a 180. And this is like the third or fourth time this season that the season has literally taken a 180 degree turn in the span of a couple of days. Right. So
Hey,
I
I
think
had
it's
you on
really,
4 weeks ago, and you did not like anything about the steel. Nothing was
there was
trending
nothing to
right.
like. There
There's
was nothing
nothing to
to
like.
like. And then but it's almost like
They
it's almost like they
booed
read,
Renegade the last time I had
right?
you
But
on.
it's almost like they read social media and then they're like, hey, What was that stat? Like Rodgers hadn't completed a pass over 20 air yards in like a month and a half. And what's he do the first play in Baltimore? He goes
Over the
deep to
head.
DK Metcalf, right? So, I mean, it seems like that they sort of have to get now, but maybe they're the kind of people that have, like, I'm like, for example, like I'm a reporter, right? Like I'm deadline oriented. I procrastinate until the deadline because, like, well, the deadline is a deadline. There's no point in me doing it early. It sort of feels the Steelers are a little bit like that when they get pushed. Like I just remember they got the big lead and they lost 5-7, and then they got pushed and then they responded. And maybe this is one more evidence of that. But I mean, from a t purely talent standpoint, you would have to think the Ravens are the better team. I mean, that is just the Steelers defense is what it is. They are sometimes gettable. Even if it's only for a moment or two. I mean, they were terrible the first two series against Cleveland, and then Shador turned into Shador, and like they should have won the game. You just do not know like that. And I think if you want to critique Mike Tomlin the last 10 years or so, you literally do not know. You know you're going to win more than you're going to lose, but you have no idea which game you're going to win and which game you're going to lose. Like you have no idea. The idea that they went and won in Detroit by dominating the second half of that game until the last couple minutes, and then lay an egg in Cleveland like in a 7-day span. I mean, how does that how, they lose to Joe Flacco, who gets signed 5 minutes before the Bengals play the Steelers, and he lights them up, and then like they sort of lose their way for a bit, and then it's like, oh, here come the Colts, and oh, look at Danny Dimes, and oh, look at Jonathan Taylor, and then they whip them. I mean, they've beaten the Patriots, they've beaten the guy that's going to be the AFC, they're probably going to be the MVP, or is certainly going to be a finalist. And then they lose to Shador Sanders and Joe Flacco. So I mean, that's the problem. Like with the Steelers, if you're going to look for a problem, it's that, man, how do we not know which games are going to win? How do we not know that? Like that's a weird, because you just don't know what you're going to get on a given Sunday. And a guy 19 years in, that's I wouldn't call that a ringing endorsement of the coaching staff.
Well, I mean, how about Harbaugh blowing double-digit leads more than any coach in the history of coaches, right? Like, that's what this defense is. Even with a 10-point lead on Sunday night in Pittsburgh, that's what the stat will come up, that the defense has blown these games, including one 2 weeks ago. So, like, it's the ghost chase both of these teams around, and we've come to the conclusion they can't win the Super Bowl. But 2 weeks from now, if one of them wins a game and draws a game that looks like, well, they can go to Jacksonville and win. You
Right.
know what I mean? Like, who can't go there?
Well,
So,
that, right. That, right. That, but
and then
that's
we
the
have Aaron
irony.
Rodgers, or we have a healthy
Right.
Lamar
Exactly.
Jackson,
And that,
right?
that's the irony for the Steelers. The season has broken exactly kind of the way that they wanted to, in the sense that there's no Patrick Mahomes. If they win, get in, there's no Lamar. So you get basically got Josh Allen and a bunch of guys who have not done it this time of
And you would
year.
get Metcalf back against Houston, right?
Right.
And maybe even
And
T.J.
you have
Watt.
Aaron Rodgers. And you have Aaron Rodgers. So I
Right,
mean, like
okay.
things have broken like exactly the way that they sort of hoped. But that is gonna be like if they lose on Sunday, that is gonna be like, my God, like everything broke right for us and we still kind of couldn't do it. That is look, I mean, we're talking about how uncomfortable Monday or Tuesday is gonna be for the losing team. I mean, my question for Mike is gonna be this. I mean, this and unfortunately, I'm one of those guys now that he's sort of like, oh God, Will's here. He's gonna ask me something that's gonna piss me off. But like, Mike, lots of change in the 19 years, a lot of success, but look, we no playoff wins in 10 years. A lot of coaching changes, players change. You and Art Rooney are the only constants in this entire equation. Art's obviously not going anywhere. Why do you remain the right person to coach this team? That's probably a better question for Art, but he won't talk until close to the Super Bowl. And Mike's gonna, we'll see what he has to say. I mean, like
Your owner
a bit
talks,
like,
though. Your owner comes in front of you and talks every year.
yeah, he does like a year end, he does like a year end
Our owner
roundtable.
hasn't done that in 8 years.
That's
Really,
Dan
since
Snyder.
Ray Rice, really.
That's Dan Snyder type behavior, which is not a ringing endorsement. You know what I mean? I mean, that's.
Well, and the stadium's emptied out here, and they kicked the media out of the press box and have the little Kevin Byrne press box up in the corner, and they're trying to sell the premium seats and the Jerry Jones high five the players on the way in the field and all of that stuff, and it's not that kind of community in regard to premium. The hot dogs taste better inside the premium, and like
Right.
all of that. Like I, they're in a way. It's the Orioles too. I mean, the Orioles even. Much more so because Mr. Big came in and bought them for a lot of money and now has to monetize Pete Alonso. And so There is a level of all of that, but I do think nobody knows what Bisciotti thinks other than he thinks of Harbaugh and DaCosta's children. I mean, DaCosta's been here forever, waited forever to get the gig. I don't think it's going to get blamed on him, and I don't think John wants to leave. You know what I mean? I think John looks at all these other owners and says, "I'll take the one I got, not the one I don't have." And I think Mike would probably feel the same way to some degree. And the familiarity of it has been comfortable for everybody, more comfortable for Mike in Pittsburgh in that he hasn't won as much as John lately and hasn't had Lamar Jackson either. So there's that part of the, "Hey John, you've had Lamar and you can't win with him? Come on." What, you know, at least Mike has the, "I haven't had a quarterback around here." It's just going to make for a weird off season. And I know you and I'll be back here week two next year. They'll be playing each other again and they'll still be the coach. Like, because it doesn't feel like these franchises have the tolerance or the temperature or the, it's just not there in their DNA, either one of them, to have a Black Monday firing and Steve's going to march coordinators in here to talk to them. I do that.
Right.
I don't think Steve has the tolerance for that any more than the Rooney family does.
I mean, I certainly the relationship with Mike and the Rooney family is it's pretty tight and has been basically since he got here. And you know, part of me thinks like if they decided that if both parties decided that a move needed to be made, the Steelers, like this is one of the ironies, right? Like I wouldn't want to replace Mike Tomlin unless I kind of knew who I wanted the next coach to be. The irony is, of course, like when Bill Cowher left, nobody knew who the hell Mike Tomlin was. And then they hired him, and he's been a Hall of Fame coach, right? So maybe they do trust, you know, when I said they sort of lean into their mythology, part of their mythology is finding like an assistant coach for Don Shula and giving him a roster and letting him be there 23 years and start 1-13 and then slowly build and have a dynasty, right? So maybe they do trust their process and maybe they decide, you know what, Mike, it's we've had a great run here. You know, I just can't imagine. It's hard for me to imagine them telling him to walk. But if you know, if the Giants call and say, "Hey, how about the Giants who will have a high draft pick to say, hey, we'll swap first spots in the first round for and give you a second round pick for Mike T." Is it possible? It's possible. Like it's like Schefter went on
Is it
Max.
possible Steve Bisciotti would want that deal because Harbaugh wants out and he wants to keep Lamar? I don't, you know,
Right.
I have no idea how that's going to play out because that has as much caustic nature. At least in Pittsburgh, you're going to figure if you have your coach next week and Mike's staying, you'll figure the rest of it out. He
I
might
mean,
be the guy trying to get Lamar.
the crazy part about this whole thing is, though, like we're talking about guys that have coached 300 games in the league and have Super Bowls on their resume. And we are sitting here thinking that one game, the result of one game, will sort of determine the path of the franchise for the next 10 years. Like that is, you know, that tells me that there has been erosion. There has been an erosion of support. And the reality is, like, look, nobody, especially with Mike, I mean, what other coach stays 10 years and doesn't win a playoff game? I mean, outside of Marvin Lewis, like, so do you, what, you know, you're the Bengals now? I mean, are the Steelers the Bengals? They certainly don't like to think they're not the Bengals, but like, that's sort of
Well,
what
the
they need to
second
do.
life of Andy Reid, the second life of Dick Vermeil, the second life of, you know, what Sean Payton is doing right now and what Mike Vrabel's doing right now, right? You look at it and say, all right, you know, I would maybe have more power, less power, different power, you know, maybe I different general manager, maybe Eric and John aren't as glued as they appear to be, although they live next door to each other. And Eric was a part of the hiring process that brought John in when he was a young buck 18 years ago. So there's a mythology about both of these franchises and the matchup itself, which is why it got flexed in the Sunday night, which is why I got to bother you for 35 minutes today and talk some football with you.
Yeah, I mean,
So it's
it's super.
always.
It says something about these teams that like the Niners and the Seahawks are by far the more attractive football matchup, right? Because you've got two teams that are better than the two teams that are, but people want to watch Aaron Rodgers and they want to watch the you know Derrick Henry and maybe Lamar, and they want to watch Mike Tomlin. That is sort of why they can never really sort of escape the national conversation. That's why they're always sort of they're compelling figures. They're compelling figures because what they're doing is unnatural in this day and age. It's unnatural to be at a place 18 years and 19 years. It just is. It's unnatural. And so like people are, you know, fixated on it. I do think though that Like, I could sit here and get all worked up about it. And look, if the Steelers have a coaching search, it's going to be a lot of work for me, in January and February or whatever it's going to be. But like, Mike has earned the right, and John too, in my opinion, they've earned the right to sort of go out on their own terms, right? I mean, like, that's the thing that it's hard for me to imagine. Like, when people use the word fired, I know it's indelicate, and I just don't think it fits in this, like, because there was no bottoming out. You fire people when it bottoms out. The Steelers have not bottomed out, the Ravens have
Both of
not.
these teams are playing for the division title in down years where everything's gone wrong, and here they are,
I
showing up
mean,
without TJ Watt, without Lamar Jackson, but on and on and on and on.
so I mean, I still think the Ravens, if they hold on to the ball, if Henry doesn't fumble, they should win the game if the coaching staff just gets out of the way. But the coaching staff likes to get in the way sometimes on both sides. And I think Arthur Smith, the Steelers OC, he's got to get over the cute stuff and just let Rodgers be Rodgers, because this might be it for him, and I would imagine he's probably earned the right to kind of cut loose. So, but let's remember also, like, Aaron Rodgers' last game in Green Bay, the end of the 2022 season, the Packers had won four straight. If they got the Lions at home on Sunday night, if they win that game, they get in the playoffs, and what happened? They lost. So maybe
Because I'm
there is an
trying to
accountability.
add a comedy to our repertoire here, I'm sharing Fred G. Sanford here and Red Fox, maybe my all-time favorite comedian, and just saying, this is the big one, right?
This
And
is the
then, I
big
mean,
one.
this
I
is
was
the
going to
big
ask.
one.
This is
This is the big one. You know what I'm
it
saying,
is.
right? So, Will Graves is here at the Associated Press. He covers all things Pittsburgh, not just the Steelers with the ins and outs, the Penguins and the Panthers and the Pirates when they're relevant and when Skeens pitches every. Hey, man, Pete Alonso, we're in a baseball business here, no matter what happens on Sunday. So, big game. Luke and I are driving up the mountain to Pittsburgh. I'm going to get a Pittsburgh a restaurant recommendation from Will off the air, and Luke and I are going to settle in for the big one on Sunday night in Pittsburgh. We'll have full coverage at Baltimore Positive and WNST. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.